Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 16.
House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The Sergeant-at-Arms will close the doors. Members and visitors are asked to please silence all electronic devices and to keep those silenced for the duration of session. This evening's prayer will be offered by Representative Montgomery. We'd ask our visitors, as well as our members, to please stand for the prayer and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Representative Montgomery.
Let us pray. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, Thou who has brought us thus far on the way, we gather again in this chamber for the sole purpose of making policy that improve the lives of those in the great state of North Carolina. We gather not for selfish gain or prideful vindication, but that all members of our state might have an equitable chance at the race of life. We're reminded daily of the failures of society to meet the audacious challenges of a modern civilization. It is evident in the faces of the poor, in the hearts of the grandmothers who still struggle to provide meals for their families, or even in the small business owners who are challenged with adapting to a rapidly changing economy. Let us be reminded that people of faith are burdened with the responsibility to do something when people are hurting. Let the policy we make be rooted in the words of the Hippocratic Oath, do no harm. God, the simple fact that we're all standing in this room is an indication that you've been good to us. So let us show through good governance and policy making the same love and goodness that you've offered to each of us gathered here today. Teach us to not only love some, but all. For if your love is sufficient, it must reach us all. Which means the same love that reaches persons living in fine housing on hills also reaches those living in the corridors of homeless shelters. As we endeavor in the work set before us, help us to operate with that same type of global love. Remember us with your mercy. Nourish us with your patience. Comfort us with a sense of goodness. Lift your countenance upon us. Grant us your peace through your Son. And all of God's creation said amen.
Amen.
Gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for February 21st has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Lewis moves the journal for February 21st be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. Petitions, memorials, or papers addressed to the General Assembly of the House. The clerk will read.
State of North Carolina, Office of the Governor. Dear Mr. Speaker, pursuant to North Carolina General Statute 7A-45.1, I am pleased to nominate the following individuals as Superior Court Judges. Chief Business Court Judge Louis A. Bledsoe III to be reappointed after term expiration on 7/1/2019, and Steve Warren to fill the vacancy created on 1/10/2019. I hereby submit their names for confirmation by the General Assembly by joint resolution. I am grateful for these individuals' willingness to assume this important responsibility for the state of North Carolina. Attached is biographical information for each judge for your review. Please feel free to call my staff for any additional information. Sincerely, Roy Cooper.
Bill is referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Representative Lewis recognized to send forth committee report. The clerk will read.
Representative Lewis, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House Committee Report. House Bill 3, Eminent Domain, favorable.
Calendar pursuant to Rule 36B for Wednesday, February 27th.
House Bill 32, Collaborative Law, favorable.
Calendar 36B for Wednesday, February 27th.
House Bill 33, Adjust GSC Membership, favorable.
Calendar pursuant to Rule 36B for Wednesday, February 27th.
House Bill 72, Support Multiple Recesses for Lincoln County Schools, favorable.
Counter pursuant to Rule 36B for Wednesday, February 27th.
Senate Bill 75, Restore Court of Appeals Membership, favorable.
Counter pursuant to Rule 36B for Wednesday, February 27th. Introduction of bills and resolutions. The clerk will read.
Representative Shepard, McNeil, Carson Smith, and Cleveland, House Bill 138, Damage, Jail, Prison, Fire, Sprinklers, Penalty.
Judiciary, favorable rules.
Representative Pierce, House Bill 139, Youth Gun Violence Study Commission.
Judiciary, favorable rules.
Representatives McGrady, Reeves, Stevens, and Hardister, House Bill 140, The Fairness of Integrity of Redistricting Fair Act.
Redistricting and favorable rules.
Representatives Horn, former Butterfield, Lucas, Rena Turner, House Bill 141, DPS Health Services Fund for Full-Time Equivalent PED Study.
Judiciary Favorable Appropriations, JPS, Favorable Appropriations and Favorable Rules.
Representatives Humphrey, Murphy, Katie Smith, House Bill 142, School Calendar Flexibility, Pitt County.
Education K-12 with favorable rules.
Representatives Terry, Beasley, and Alexander, House Bill 143, Universal Identification Biometric Study.
State and local government, the favorable health, the favorable rules.
Representatives Corbin, Torbett, Hardister, and Pierce, House Bill 144, Hands Free, NC.
Transportation, if favorable insurance, if favorable judiciary, if favorable finance, if favorable rules.
Representatives Harris, Autry, Lofton, and Clark, House Bill 145, 15-point scale for school performance grades.
Education K-12, if favorable rules.
Representatives former Butterfield, Candy Smith, House Bill 146, living wages by 2024.
Finance, if favorable regulatory reform, if favorable commerce.
Representatives
favorable
Ross,
rules.
Representatives Ross, Howard, Fisher, and Conrad, House Joint Resolution 147, confirm Raymond Grace, Banking Commissioner.
Banking, if favorable rules.
Representative Pierce, House Bill 148, School Calendar Flexibility, Hope County.
Education K-12, if favorable rules.
Representative Pierce, House Bill 149, School Calendar Flexibility, Scotland County.
Education K-12, if favorable rules.
Representative Pierce, House Bill 150, allow designee for police chief, juvenile crime prevention council.
State and local government, a favorable judiciary, a favorable rules.
Representative Lambert, House Bill 151, Caitlin's Law.
Judiciary, a favorable rules.
Representatives John, Rogers, and Morey, House Bill 152, registration discretionary for sexual battery.
Judiciary, if favorable appropriations, JPS, if favorable appropriations, if favorable rules.
Representatives John, Morey, and Rogers, House Bill 153, SBI funds.
Actually, the prior referral strike, that would be judiciary favorable rules. For House Bill 153, Chair directs the bill go to judiciary, if favorable appropriations, JPS, if favorable appropriations, if favorable rules.
Representatives John, Rogers, Morey, House Bill 154, conduct code and discipline for magistrates.
Judiciary favorable rules.
Representative Hurley, House Bill 155, unclaimed property changes.
Judiciary favorable rules. Clarification on referral 151, bills referred to education K-12, a favorable state and local government, a favorable rules. Message from the Senate, clerk will read.
Special message from the Senate. Mr. Speaker, pursuant to House Joint Resolution 36, a joint resolution inviting His Excellency Governor Roy Cooper to address a joint session of the House of Representatives and Senate. The President pro tem appoints the following senators as a committee of the part of the Senate to escort the Honorable Roy Cooper to the joint session of the Hall of the House of Representatives. Senator Brown, Chair. Senators Blue, Don Davis, Harrington, Horner, Robinson. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk.
The following members are appointed to serve as the Escort Committee for the Honorable Roy Cooper. Representative Bell, Chair. Representatives Carney, Howard, Jackson, Lucas, Setzer, and Graham. Senate will be notified by special message. And bill message from the Senate. Clerk, read.
Senate Bill 5, a bill to be entitled an act to allow state and local educational institutions access to funding from the state capital and infrastructure funds address critical capital funding needs.
Education, if favorable, pensions and retirement, if favorable, appropriations, if favorable, finance, if favorable, rules. And if favorable again, rules again. Let's ask our pages to come forward, please. House will come to order. We're about to introduce our pages. Would ask members to please give your attention to our pages. The clerk is going to call your name in just a moment, and when he does, please step forward so that the members will know who you are. And then at the conclusion of that, of course, we'll formally welcome our pages. The clerk will introduce.
The following pages are sponsored by Speaker Tim Moore, Braxton Agee, Stanley County, Tony Andrade, Sampson County, Zephaniah Bond, Sampson County, Isaiah Booker, Sampson County, Christian Cortez, Sampson County, Naomi Cristobal, Stanley County, Philip Edwards, Sampson County, Jamal Fisher, Sampson County, Alicia Fleming, Sampson County, Cassia Gorham, Sampson County, Dante January, Stanley County, Travion Jones, Sampson County, Preston Lewis, Stanley County, McKenna Matthews, Sampson County, Caleb Mosley, Sampson County, Tomas Puebla, Stanley County, Jalen Richardson, Sampson County, Jamal Savage, Sampson County, Jasmine Whitley, Sampson County, Austin Wilson, Stanley County.
Members, our pages are from around the state. They're part of the Tar Heel Challenge. They're going to be with us this week. To our pages, we're honored to have you with us. You're here for a special occasion. You're actually going to be here to observe the State of the State address from the governor. So that's good. That's a neat opportunity. And, of course, you'll have an opportunity to see the legislature in session this week. I would ask my members, please join me in welcoming our pages with us this week. You may return to your post. We're going to stand at ease momentarily. House will come back to order. Members, just to explain the protocol and the schedule for the remainder of session, we will be going into joint session in just a bit, and so we will be concluding with the with the House's business in very short order. So the chair is going to open it up shortly to notices and announcements. But before doing that, on motion of Representatives Ross and Riddell of Alamance County, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Freebird McKinney of Alamance County, who is the North Carolina State Teacher of the Year. Mr. McKinney, where are you? We want to welcome you and congratulate you. Over here on the left. Thanks for being with us this evening. Now, Mr. McKinney, that's the first time I've seen a standing ovation for a guest from other folks in the gallery, so you set a record this evening. Thanks for being with us. Notices and announcements. For our purpose, the gentleman from Craven, Representative Speciale, rise.
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
This is to announce that the House Freedom Caucus has now been formed. The officers are Chairman, Representative Speciale, Vice Chairman, Representative Brody. Our mission statement, the mission of the House Freedom Caucus is to foster communications among legislators in all areas of constitutional liberty and its inherent freedoms, to pursue passage of legislation that upholds and defends the constitutional rights of our citizens, and to oppose legislation that would violate these rights. This would include a focus on fiscal policy and individual rights.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I sent out an email earlier to all the members, but I just wanted to say personally how much Tammy and I appreciate the outpouring of support and sympathy we've had since her mother died the other day. Miss Effie was a wonderful woman. She was a believer. She was someone who was just kind and just willing to do a lot for others, did a lot in the community, along with my father-in-law, who was fireman and also Lions Club president and that sort of thing. She was right there by him. And she was a smart businesswoman. It was hard to watch her mind slip away over the last few years. Somebody with that kind of mind, you just hate to see them lose it, you know. She was wonderful to me, took me in early on, as the whole family did, even before Tammy and I were married. She treated me like I was hers. You didn't want to get on her bad side, but you love being on her good side, I tell you. She was a real sweetheart. But the best thing she ever did for me, and she didn't know me and didn't know it at the time, but after having two miscarriages, she kept trying and had Tammy. And I'll never always be grateful to her for that. But thank you for your support. God bless.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Brunswick, Representative Iowa, rise?
For announcement.
The gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The first meeting of the session of the Transportation Committee will be tomorrow at 10 a.m. in room 423. That's a new time and a new room. 423, 10 a.m. There are four bills on the calendar, and they're listed on your calendar here.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Lee, Representative Sauls, rise?
For announcement.
Gentlemen, ask for an announcement.
House Community Colleges will meet at 11 o'clock at room 421 tomorrow.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Union, Representative Horn, rise?
For an announcement.
Gentleman has floor for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Education Appropriations Committee will meet tomorrow morning at 8:30. So please join us in room 423. And then for those of you on education policy, K-12, we will meet tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock in the big room, 643. Thanks very much.
And members, the chair was about to, the chair will explain the order of business. At roughly 640, in about 10 minutes or so, we will send the message to the Senate inviting that body to the House floor. and then we will have a process of seating and recognizing a number of distinguished guests who will be with us this evening from the judicial branch as well as the executive branch. And so we will go through that process as well. And then at the conclusion of that, as we are assembled in joint session, the chair will relinquish the gavel to the lieutenant governor, who will preside for the remainder of the joint session. Our next order of business as a house will be a motion to adjourn, but it is a motion for dissolution that is done, that is effective only once we've adjourned the joint session. So that'll be the next business that we take care of here in the house. Any further notices or announcements? For what purpose the gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Lambeth, rise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has floor for an announcement.
The Health Committee will also meet tomorrow at 10 o'clock in our usual room, 643. But I particularly want to point out the first bill on our agenda. We have four bills to cover tomorrow. The first is a very important bill called Official State Frozen Treat. And there is a rumor that the bill sponsor will be bringing ice cream to treat everyone at the committee meeting. So this is a meeting that you do not want to miss.
Further notices and announcements? If not, gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn upon dissolution of the joint session to reconvene Tuesday, February 26th at 5:15 p.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Lewis moves, seconded by Representative Soka, that the House adjourn upon dissolution of the joint session to reconvene Tuesday, February 26th at 5:15, subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the House will stand adjourned upon dissolution of the joint session. However, we are still in session, and we will stand at ease momentarily.
To hear the governor deliver an address to a joint session of the General Assembly.
The Sergeant-at-Arms is directed to escort the members of the judiciary to their respective seats. The House Sergeant-at-Arms is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, the chair extends the courtesies of the House to the First Lady. Well, excuse me. Mr. Speaker, pursuant to an invitation extended to them, the Council of State and the Governor's Cabinet await entrance to the chamber.
The Sergeant-at-Arms is directed to escort the members of the Council of State and the Governor's Cabinet to their respective seats. The chair extends the courtesies of the House to the First Lady of North Carolina, Mrs. Kristen Cooper, and the Lieutenant Governor's wife, Alice Forrest, as well as invited guests. Please stand so we could welcome you, and I ask my colleagues to please join me in welcoming our guest. I now relinquish the gavel to the President of the Senate, Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest.
Thank you, sir. And I get to be the bearer of fun news. We are on TV time tonight. So we are actually going to stand in recess for about 10 minutes while we wait on UNC TV. So let's stand in recess for a few minutes, and we'll call you back to order when they are ready. If we could have everybody return to their seats, please. Let's have everybody go ahead and return to their seats, please. At this time, we can also ask the escort committee to repair to the rotunda. If you're on the escort committee, please repair to the rotunda. Everybody, feel free to be seated as well at this time. And I'm going to ask for our friends at UNC TV, who is giving me the signal in the back? The General Assembly will come to order. The Sergeant at Arms of the House is recognized.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the presence of His Excellency, the Governor of the State of North Carolina, the Honorable Roy Cooper.
The Sergeant at Arms of the House and the Senate will escort the committee and His Excellency to the well of the House. Representative Floyd is recognized. Members of the General Assembly, distinguished guests, His Excellency, the Governor of the State of North Carolina, the Honorable Roy Cooper.
Mr. President, please be seated first. You might be able to stand up for the whole thing, but maybe not. Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, Mr. President Pro Tem, members of the General Assembly, the Council of State, members of the Judiciary, members of my Cabinet, and my fellow North Carolinians, I'm honored to join you tonight to report the state of our great state. I'm joined by my wife, Kristen, my partner in life and in public service, who for the past 2 years has traveled to every corner of North Carolina. I thank Kristen and our wonderful daughters, Hillary and Natalie, who are here tonight, and Claire, who is away at school, for their unwavering love and support. Stand up, guys. Thank you so much. In recent months, North Carolinians have been put to the test, and we've learned we're made of strong stuff. In September, our state was slammed by Hurricane Florence. Homes, businesses, schools, and crops were washed away. Dozens of lives were lost. Then Tropical Storm Michael blew through, bringing more damage. But adversity only defines us if we refuse to rise and conquer it. Days after Florence made landfall, I met an elderly woman in a Wilmington shelter who was rescued from floodwaters by first responders. All she had left were the few belongings that she had carried in her arms. But she didn't dwell on her loss. When I told her how sorry I was, she said to me, "I thank God I'm alive. I thank God for that firefighter who rescued me, and I thank God for all of these volunteers helping in this shelter. A lot of them had their own homes flooded. I'm going to make it." It's that courage in the face of fear, that conviction in the face of uncertainty, that determined spirit in the face of challenges that make us, North Carolina, the greatest state in the nation. And that's why tonight I'm proud to report that the state of our state is determined.
Hurricane Florence showed us that we North Carolinians love our communities, that we help each other, that we're resilient in tough times, and that we are determined to work together to rebuild stronger and smarter. But the storm showed us that it's also time to come together to meet other challenges that people face every day across our state. And we have to bring that same determination to every challenge. To start, we must come together and insist that our public schools come first. We must come together to create opportunities in our cities and in our rural communities. And we must come together to get health care for hundreds of thousands of working people with no insurance. That's the determination we need to make North Carolina truly excellent. First, we must be determined to help our state recover stronger and smarter than ever. It's hard to find a part of our state that's been spared the blows of nature over the past 2 years, whether floods, rain, wind, tornadoes, or mudslides. In my travels, I've witnessed people's pain and loss. I've been inspired by their determination. Survivors who are working to rebuild their lives and their communities. Volunteers who serve thousands of hot meals in repaired homes. First responders who pulled more than 5,200 North Carolinians and over 1,000 animals from floodwaters. I've been honored to meet many of these storm heroes, including State Highway Patrol Trooper Nicholas Stoneroad. Just after the storm, he spent hours clearing roads and keeping his community safe. Even though his own home was crushed by fallen trees, he kept right on working. When he made it back home again, chest-deep floodwaters had destroyed almost everything he owned. But he still kept reporting for duty, protecting others, helping people in need, delivering food to provide meals for survivors. And you know what he said when he was asked why he kept on? He said this: "I had a job to do." Trooper Stoneroad, your state is deeply grateful to you and to all the people who answered the call to service above self. Please stand so we can thank you and all of our hurricane heroes. Like Trooper Stoneroad, we have a job to do. We're determined to help North Carolinians recover, and we're making progress. Local, state, and federal leaders are working together, and tens of thousands of North Carolinians are already getting assistance. At our urging, the state and federal government have put in over $1 billion to help North Carolinians get back on their feet, and we're working for a lot more. This legislature really stepped up in a big way after Hurricane Florence. We worked together in a bipartisan way to help families, schools, small businessmen, fishermen, and farmers. But with many small business owners and families just one disaster away from bankruptcy, it's not enough to simply respond to disaster when it strikes. We must also limit damage from the next storm by rebuilding stronger and more resilient. Weeks after Hurricane Florence, I formed the new Office of Recovery and Resilience to carry out recovery and develop strategies to protect our state from future storms. We have seen violent weather threaten every corner of our state, and scientists agree climate change is making storms more fierce. It is real, and we are the generation that must act. In October, I signed an executive order to reduce our state's greenhouse gas emissions 40% by the year 2025. This won't just help us in the fight against climate change. It'll boost our economy by creating more clean energy jobs. We must also be determined to get people better educated for the jobs of today and tomorrow. When the founders of the University of North Carolina chartered America's first public university to open its doors in 1789, they knew even then that education creates opportunity. Public education lifts up families, communities, and our economy. But too often, public schools have taken a back seat to tax breaks for those at the very top. Simply put, public education is our most important job as a state, and we must do better. Now, when I visit schools across North Carolina, I see determined teachers, I see eager students, and I see hope for our future. But too often I see teachers working second jobs to make ends meet. Kids who missed out on early childhood education in pre-K. Trailers and crowded classrooms. If we want our educators to teach well, we need to treat them well. Last year, 20,000 teachers from across the state came here to Raleigh and asked us to help our schools. One of them was Nashonda Cook, who's here with us tonight. The daughter and granddaughter of teachers, Nashonda decided to become one too during a visit to her mother's classroom. Nashonda said this, "I knew immediately. I saw my mom change lives. I saw her help children reach their highest potential." Nashonda has taught in North Carolina schools for 20 years. Over the years, she's seen fewer teacher assistants, fewer classroom supplies, and she's had trouble making ends meet on a teacher's salary. But when her youngest child said that she'd like to become a teacher too, Nashonda didn't hesitate to encourage her. We want Nashonda's daughter and thousands like her to follow through and become teachers. Let's show Nashonda and other educators that we value and respect them. Nashonda, please stand up so that we can recognize your hard work and the amazing service of teachers all across our state. But North Carolina is still ranked 37th in teacher pay nationwide. That's not the respect they deserve. When I send you my budget, we'll put our schools and our teachers first. Now I know we disagree on some issues. But I believe that there is bipartisan agreement that education will succeed with a good teacher in every classroom and a good principal in every school. So our message to educators should be clear. We trust you to educate our children. We're putting our money where our trust is. And we must encourage more of our very best high schoolers to choose teaching as a career. If they'll teach here for at least 4 years, North Carolina will pay for their college. Teaching fellow scholarships are a great deal for our state, and they lift the level of respect for the profession. Let's expand the teaching fellows program. And let's give kids a better start by investing more in early childhood education. We've worked together to expand pre-K to thousands more students. But we shouldn't stop until every child has it. And let's give our students safe, healthy places to learn. Right now, 4 in 10 public schools in our state are at least 50 years old. That means they are still using the schools that you and I went to. That's great for nostalgia, but not so good for students in classrooms with unreliable heat, leaking roofs, or crumbling walls. K through 12 schools need at least $8 billion in new construction and renovation. There is a smart way to build them that locks in financing against the whims of future legislatures and lets the people decide at the same time. It gets hammers swinging all across our state and still leaves money for good teachers and principals that I just talked about. This session, let's have the people vote on a strong school construction bond. And we have to be determined to build an economy that works for everyone. In many ways, our state is a picture of success. Raleigh, Durham, and Chapel Hill are hubs for innovation. The Triad is a growing center for aviation and advanced manufacturing. Charlotte is a global banking capital. And our rural areas offer unique opportunities. Just last week, Charlotte hosted the NBA All-Star Game, showing people from around the world what we already know. North Carolina is America's best place to live and do business. and play basketball. Now, when I took office, House Bill 2 was hurting North Carolinians and holding our economy back. 2 years ago, I stood right here before you and said we must repeal it. And with bipartisan support, HB 2 is gone. But there's more to do to fight discrimination. We must show the rest of the nation and the world who we really are. A state that values diversity, that is welcoming, and that is open for business. I've signed 2 executive orders that reaffirm those values by banning workplace discrimination. Our economy is strongest when every North Carolinian can contribute. As we continue to grow and thrive, we're determined not to leave anyone behind. In the past 2 years, we've announced more than 40,000 new jobs and billions of dollars of investment in both urban and rural parts of North Carolina. We have worked together, you legislators and our office, to expand our economic development toolkit, which now includes strong incentives. It's been great to welcome major companies, including Honeywell, Advance Auto Parts, Credit Suisse, Eggerwood Products, and Triangle Tire. Our unemployment rate is below the national average, and our economy is strong. But despite this success, middle-class families are still struggling for better wages. There is an answer for them. Today, there are thousands of jobs available, from advanced manufacturing to construction to technology and healthcare, jobs that offer better pay. Yet employers tell me they struggle to find the skilled workers that they need. And many workers tell me they struggle to find the better paying jobs. We're determined to get them together. That's why we started NC Job Ready, a program that trains workers in the skills that employers need. We've already seen success. Our Finish Line grants help community college students living on the economic edge. The grants help people stay in school when they face unexpected costs like car repairs, medical emergencies, and child care. Take Takeda Douglas, a community college student and a mother of 3. I first met Takeda during a visit to Alamance Community College last month. She wanted a better career, so she enrolled to become a dental assistant. But balancing the additional cost of child care was too much, so Takeda nearly dropped out. A Finish Line grant helped her stay in school, and she expects to graduate this summer. Takeda is determined not to let anything discourage her, and she's here with us tonight. Let's give her a round of applause for working hard to make a better life for herself and her family. Just last week, Leaders from all over North Carolina, including this legislature, endorsed the goal for 2 million more North Carolinians to have a post-secondary degree or credential by the year 2030. But people need education in order for us to get there. People in North Carolina now have $41 billion in student debt, and many, many middle-class families often can't afford the education that they need. Last year, I pushed for an effort to provide tuition-free community college for high-demand jobs. This can help us meet our goal. Other states are already doing this, so let's get it done. Now, our economy also depends on infrastructure. And when I came into office, the Highway Trust Fund wasn't being used efficiently. You in this chamber challenged our Department of Transportation to build roads and bridges faster. We delivered on that challenge. And then we worked together to pass Build NC. This helps keep our state connected and our economy moving. Connecting our state, our entire state, is especially critical for our rural communities. We have the second largest rural population of any state in the country. Now, growing up in Nash County, I spent my summers in the tobacco field, my Friday nights on the football field, and my Sunday mornings in Sunday school and church. My parents and my rural North Carolina community taught me the value of hard work. They taught me the value of a dollar. They taught me the importance of faith, family, and community. For people like Lorinda and Harold Overman, rural North Carolina will always be home. To them, tending crops and livestock on their farm is more than an occupation. It's a deeply rewarding way of life. But right now, many rural business owners and farmers are struggling. Lack of broadband access, trade tariffs, and natural disasters have hit them hard. Last year, the Overmans saw their soybean crop wiped out by Hurricane Florence, threatening their ability to keep their 18 full-time employees. Thanks to the bipartisan hurricane relief bill we passed, the Overmans and many other farmers like them are getting help. The Overmans are determined to make their business thrive and pass it on to their kids, the next generation of farmers. Lorinda and Harold, please stand so we can let you and other farmers across our state know that we are with you. We all know about our rural challenges, so that's why last year I launched Hometown Strong. It's already making a difference, strengthening relationships between state government and over a dozen rural counties. For instance, some small communities didn't know how to get funds to fix up struggling downtowns. Hometown Strong is helping connect them with the right resources to get started. There is also a monster of an issue facing rural communities, internet access. Too many North Carolinians lack the internet connection they need to apply for a job, to do homework, or to run a small business. Among households without broadband, About 95% of them are in rural areas. A digital divide with very real consequences. This legislature can make a real dent in this problem this session. I'm asking you to join with me in an expansive effort to complete rural broadband projects. We can leverage public-private partnerships to bridge the digital divide and connect all parts of our state to opportunity. Finally, we must be determined to help the people of our state become healthier. And we've made important strides. We've protected our clean air and water by punishing polluters and stopping emerging contaminants from being discharged into the Cape Fear River. Every North Carolina family deserves to know their drinking water is safe. In October, our administration got people near coal ash ponds off bottled water, and now they have permanent, safe water. Our Department of Environmental Quality will continue to push for safe storage of coal ash across the state. We also must protect the health of our coastal communities from the threats of offshore drilling. The federal government must hear us loud and clear, not off our coast. And we know too many North Carolinians don't have health insurance. Tonight, I want to talk with you about a bipartisan way that we can get 500,000 working North Carolinians some help. There are neighbors in your hometowns who are working two jobs that don't provide any health insurance. Doctors and nurses across our state see it every day. Are we willing to help them? It's time. Police chiefs and sheriffs say they're overwhelmed by the wreckage of opioid overdose and people who need treatment, not jails. Are we willing to help them? It's time. Business owners say they're tired of paying higher premiums to cover the cost of treating the uninsured in emergency rooms. Are we willing to help them? It is time. Rural hospitals are bordering on bankruptcy and even closing because many of their patients don't have health insurance. Are we willing to help them? Yeah. Well, it's time. Our communities could use an extra 30 to 40,000 good paying jobs. Are we willing to help them? Yeah. It's time. Many North Carolinians are tired of their tax dollars going to Washington to cover people in other states, but not our state. Are we willing to help them?
Yes.
It's time. There is someone in our audience right now who's willing to help them. Dr. Gregory Adams, a pediatrician who practices in Watauga County. He sees the problem of lack of health insurance in his own community. He worries that many people won't get treated for their chronic conditions unless we do something about it. He says it makes no sense to say no to something our federal tax dollars already pay for in other states. Dr. Adams believes that as soon as we can, right now, we should expand Medicaid. So let's follow the doctor's orders. Dr. Adams is determined to keep people healthy. Dr. Adams, please stand so we can acknowledge you and all of the doctors, nurses, and hospitals that want to do this. Thank you, Dr. Adams. Guys, I know we can do this, and I know that some of you have some concerns, but let's listen to each other, and let's get this done in a North Carolina way. We can do this. We can do this. When I became your governor, I envisioned a North Carolina where people are healthier, better educated, with more money in their pockets, and where people have the opportunity to live lives of purpose and abundance. I envisioned a North Carolina where every child in every school would get an excellent education that allowed them to pursue their purpose. I envisioned a North Carolina where every family could live fulfilling lives without the cost of health care stealing their dreams. I envisioned a North Carolina where every worker had a big enough paycheck to provide for themselves and their families. Those of you sitting in this House chamber tonight know that what we've outlined is easier said than done, but it's time to start doing. The people of North Carolina are determined for us to work together. They have spoken. They want a more balanced approach to government. They want us to invest in our public schools. They want the education and training they need to get a good paying job. They want safe drinking water. They want the neighbors to have access to health care. They simply want the opportunity to make the most of their lives. They want us to do our jobs. It's our job to build a better North Carolina that makes that possible, whether a person lives in Cherokee or Chocowinity. Now, there are several of you all who represent Chocowinity, so we need more than one clap. I love this state. I believe you do too, every single one of you. I believe we have broad agreement on what we want for our state. We sometimes differ on how to achieve it. But let's debate in good faith, not with political stunts. In the open, not behind closed doors. With respect for those who disagree, not disdain. We need to seek common ground and build solutions upon it. Just like the people I've met along the way, I'm determined. I'm determined to make our state better. I believe you are too. Starting tonight, let's figure out how to best serve those who sent us here. There is nothing a determined North Carolina cannot do. God bless you, our country, and the great state of North Carolina. Thank you very much.
Senator Brown and Representative Bell are recognized to escort His Excellency the Honorable Roy Cooper from the chamber. President Pro Tem Berger is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the joint session be now dissolved, and pursuant to the motions prevailing earlier in the Senate and in the House, the Houses will reconvene at the time stipulated in their earlier adjournment motions.
Senator Berger moves, seconded by Speaker Moore, that the joint session be dissolved. All those in favor of the motion will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed will say no.
No.
The ayes have it, and the joint session is dissolved. Pursuant to the motions heretofore made, the Senate and House of Representatives stand adjourned.
On motion of the chair, House Bill 130, short title Allow Game Nights, is withdrawn from the Committee on Alcoholic Beverage Control and recommitted to the Committee on Judiciary. The serial referral to rules remains. On motion of the chair, House Bill 63, Protect North Carolina Workers Act, The chair strikes the serial referrals to Rules, Judiciary, and Commerce, and withdraws the bill from Agriculture and re-refers to State and Local Government, if favorable Commerce, if favorable Judiciary, if favorable Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.